You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
The worst foods in the world. Coming up with a head chef and Ted's meat and potatoes, but first time for a few emails from the men's room at KISW.com.
You've got mail. You've got mail.
And we'll jump right into the birthdays brought to you by Men's Room Roasted Red Salsa from San Juan Salsa Company.
Dip responsibly.
Our amazing son, Rocco, is turning 19. We are so proud of him as he continues toward a bright future. So please have Mickey and Goofy tell him what to expect and what to avoid as he enters college. Thanks, guys. That from Paul.
Well, gosh, you're going to college now, and old Goofy knows that the answer to those two things is exactly the same. What you can expect is your first venereal disease, but the thing you want to avoid is your second venereal disease.
Hello. Mick was going to say the same thing. You'll be swimming in a sea of pee. Don't forget to wear your raincoat. Ah.
Mick says that all the time.
Oh, my God. Guys, this is Red Baron from Des Moines. Since I don't have any trustworthy friends, I'm emailing myself. Today is my 56th birthday. I'd like some advice from that pillar of Men's Room Society, Coke Ted, telling me what I should do this weekend. Love the show and thank you. That from Eric, Red Baron.
Right, your 56th birthday. You know who else wore 56? Lawrence Taylor. You know what Lawrence Taylor loved? Cocaine. What do you do for your 56th birthday this weekend? Cocaine. Seems pretty simple to me. Don't forget to hydrate on Sunday, because you're going to feel depressed and terrible.
You nailed it with Lawrence Taylor. Yeah.
Right? I mean, the guy used to do coke during games.
That's why he's hyped up.
Hola, gentlemen. Here we go again. My husband Paris's birthday is today. He is 69.
Nice.
He loves sharing his day with Elvis, David Bowie, and Shirley Bassey. He'll be the first to tell you. Can he get an Obama drop the beat, a bong hit, and the Dirty Germans advising him on how to welcome in this 69th birthday tonight? From his loving wife of 30 years, Jackie. Thank you so much, Men's Room, for being there with us for 20-plus years. We love you, Jackie, a.k.a. The Jackster.
Drop the beat.
Yeah, this is obvious. If you're turning 69 years old, then tonight you want to celebrate by doing Z69 positions. So that when you look up, you can see Z Jackie Cracky.
Yeah. So then after that, you go with the oops approach.
Yeah.
What is the oops approach?
Yeah, I cannot say that here.
Yeah.
But you're like, oops. Wrong spot.
Yeah, you'll slap us away. We say, oops, my bad.
All right, guys, here you go.
Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday to you, to you, to you.
Yaws of Dirty Germans brought to you by Men's Room Original Sausage. Available through Uli's World Famous Sausage, mensroomlive.com, and other fine retailers. Schweinefleisch.
Thank you, Bob. A couple extra emails. I love this one. Epic fart at the fog hat gig. Guys, in the late 80s, early 90s, my band Lickety Split got a chance at fame when we were booked to open up for Foghat. The venue will be familiar to older listeners. It was Natasha's, a former skating rink in Bremerton. It was a complete dive. One of the urinals in the men's room was missing, and a garbage can was sitting in its place, and people just peed in it. Still, we were really excited to open up for such a legendary band, although they never spoke to us, spent most of their time on their tour bus in the parking lot. We opened the show and our set went great musically. No issues there. But our bass player, Jay, who is known for eating meals of half a cabbage and a pound of hamburger, regularly often ripped the most horrendous farts in our band room, and we'd have to air the place out before continuing practice. Well, Jay didn't hold back for a while. While we were up there on stage, rocking out, as I was singing, I caught a whiff of a fart that could have woken the dead and was most certainly one of his. What happens next was that it took a slow ride from the stage and out into the audience.
Oh.
As it made its way back, you could see exactly where it had reached. Row after row of people got this twisted up look on their faces. Some pulled their shirts up over their noses. It was one of his worst ever, compared to the time one of his farts made our guitar player puke. We were never invited to play with Foghat again. But it was an epic show for us, as Jay's fart was that night. Cheers, guys. That from Mike. And I'll read one more. Let's see here. I had to share this one based on the question. Back when I worked retail, I was primarily head cashier, always on the front lines. We always had our share of questionable people coming in on questionable substances, trying to return stolen items for what I would assume is more drug money. Anyway, one day, one of these said people was in my line and was waiting patiently. I needed a manager to assist in return. While waiting, one of my coworkers, on break, got in line behind this chick. He knew what she was up to, so he slid a bit closer and let out a rumble. She turned around briefly and then back to me. She scowled, asked about my manager, assured maybe she was still coming. During the wait, my coworker, tired of dealing with these people daily, slipped out another, slightly louder, which was met with another nasty scowl on her face. And finally, a third good fart for my coworker. She snatched up her items from the counter, loudly proclaimed, "I don't have time for this," and stormed out as quickly as she stormed in. We always had fun looking for creative ways to get these people out of the store because they were just in there to steal or cause problems. This was another one of those epic times. Thanks for all you do and being the greatest radio show in Seattle.
Time to open wide and sample Ted's meat and potatoes. Now, here's your host, head chef of the men's room, the Ted Nugent.
Head chef of the house. Thank you. Thank you, folks. Now, frankly, I think we just exited maybe the best time of year for food.
Yeah,
you know
for
what I mean?
Sure.
You had Thanksgiving, then you have the Christmas holidays, and even around Christmas, man, especially like Christmas dinner, fine.
Sure.
But even just to get-togethers, or maybe you go out for a meal with a friend or a family member.
Oh, yeah.
Need a little bit more decadently.
Right. Like, I feel like December is really the month you're going to go out and eat a bunch of stuff. Really good food.
Agreed.
So today I have a list of the 100 worst foods, rated foods of the world. So basically there's a website, Taste Atlas. They ranked 100 grossest food in the world based on almost 400,000 online reviews from tourists.
Okay.
Miles, I was wrong. I misspoke earlier. There is definitely an American one on this list. But let's go through some of the American dishes that made the top 100. I don't think anybody would be shocked by this one. Tuna casserole came in at 73.
Agreed.
Yeah. There's no reason.
I made me cry. I come home from school and what's for dinner? Tuna casserole. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah, right. With the egg noodles and the cream of mushroom.
You know.
Peas.
Yeah.
But just we the had idea of heating tuna in a can, you can really still taste the metal. So the metal flavor really comes through.
Chocolate covered bacon came in at 76.
Really?
Never tried it.
I have. It's great.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I get the point of it, but I don't. I'm fine to have them separate.
You ever had deep fried bacon?
No.
Yes. It's breaded?
Yeah, it was just. I was like, this seems like. It seemed like too much.
Yeah.
It's like fried chicken breading on top of bacon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
Chicken a la king came in at 82.
Is that the can of cream of soup, too, with chicken?
Something, yeah. And then chicken Reggie's. Reggie's? Riggles. Chicken Riggles.
I don't know if I know that.
It's a pasta dish in upstate New York.
Google this. Chicken Riggles. I'm assuming they spell it with an R.
I-G-G-L-E-S.
Okay. I-G-G-I-E-S.
Oh, Riggies. Riggies?
Yeah, Riggies.
Yeah, you know, this looks like it's a spicy Italian-American pasta dish from Utica, New York, featuring rigatoni pasta, chicken and hot cherry peppers, and a cream of tomato sauce.
It doesn't sound bad in theory.
I guess it's just not good, but yeah, it sounds like it.
There's a couple things on this list that sound okay, but they didn't make it. Also, shout out over in Utah, they have frog eye salad. It's a pasta salad made with custard, Cool Whip, and canned fruit.
Oh, God. Come on, Utah. Don't be so Utah.
All right, so number 10 on the list, worst rated foods of the world, artichoke salad in Greece. They boil artichokes to make them tender, then cut them up and add lemon, mustard, garlic, and dill.
Now, look, doesn't sound bad.
They even say that here. I go, look, it doesn't sound that bad, but the rating was just 2.2 stars.
I don't like artichokes, but I know people do like artichokes. And to me, that sounds like if you like artichokes, that sounds like it'd be a decent dish.
I like artichokes in certain ways. I mean, honestly, the best way to have an artichoke is to...
Artichoke dip. So one way I can
steam it. Yeah, and then you get like a bowl of butter, and it's almost like eating crab meat. You like pick it apart and...
Yeah, I mean, people that like artichoke, I mean, they absolutely
love them.
Right.
I love them.
I just don't.
Artichoke dip, hearts, whole steam one.
There's just a certain limit for me on artichokes. Like sometimes you get an artichoke, like crab and artichoke dip, and it's like, there's no crab.
That's my issue with that. Yeah. Right.
And then, yeah. But I mean, I do like them. And then sometimes, like, I don't know. Like I said, for some reason, I have a weird thing with artichokes. I have a limit.
Okay.
All right, number 9 on the list was sour curry made with fish entrails.
Oh!
If you don't know what entrails are, that's internal organs.
Mm-hmm.
Traditional dish in southern Thailand.
I will avoid that one.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just here to look.
Yeah, I'm just window shopping.
My daughter did say when she lived there that there was some very interesting foods. She tried a lot of them and did like some, but there was a lot that she just could not stomach.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I struggle with internal organs.
I do, too. Now, did she struggle with the food because she knew what it was, or she just didn't like the taste?
She would try, like, for an example, at the street fairs, she would eat all the bugs.
Yeah.
That they serve in, like, a popcorn.
And they don't taste like much.
They don't taste bad. She was like, you can stomach those. But it was just some of the dishes that were more like main course dishes.
Yeah.
That were harder to swallow.
Here's the American one to make the top 10. And I don't really see what's so wrong with this. The ramen burger. The buns are fried ramen noodles, and it's a burger. A chef in Brooklyn came up with it.
It's not that it sounds bad. It sounds pointless, if you know what I mean. Like, I don't think it'd be bad. I'd just be like, just give me a bite.
I remember one of them specifically. Stinky tofu.
Oh, yeah.
Why is it stinky? What makes it stinky?
I don't know. It's just called stinky tofu.
But
apparently, it tastes like it smells.
Okay.
Now, here's one. There's an English guy I follow. It says Bosch a lot. He eats these. But my buddy, Rob, who's moving back to England currently today... He told me he lived in London. He said he's never seen anybody eat them, but jellied eels.
I've heard of it, man. I've never, and I have no interest in trying.
It's an old school street food in England dating back to the 1700s. The flavor is described as unique and unpleasant.
You know, I just pulled up a picture of jellied eels. If it tastes as bad as it looks, it is not good.
Well, I like eel. It's barbecued.
Sure.
A ton.
I like a lot of things that are barbecued, but man, I mean.
Not jellied.
Yeah.
Let's see. Chap o lele. It's a Chilean bread made with potatoes and flour.
How bad could that be?
Again, doesn't sound that bad.
Because I love a potato roll.
Sure.
Hawaiian rolls are made with potatoes.
Yeah. I don't know. It's got to be just...
Or maybe they just make it sweet somehow. But either way, it's close. It's in the same family.
It's got to be something weird with it. Either texture or just bland taste.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of it. It looks very plain. Maybe that's
like
problem.
The potato roll still has like the normal
bread consistency,
and bread stuff. That's like
Maybe the fact of the matter is it's a roll, and typically rolls are good. And so when you have one that sucks, you're like, "What the hell?"
It might just be super thick. So the basic recipe: 2 pounds of red potatoes, a half pound of flour, a little baking powder, some salt, butter. That's it.
We go back to Thailand. Deep fried silkworms, seasoned with salt and pepper.
Thank God they added that.
Yeah.
I mean, you fried them.
Right.
So that's got to be good.
Yeah, how bad can they be?
Thoreau, what were you saying earlier in the show? You never see a lot of...
Norwegian restaurants.
Correct. That whole area, right? Nordic countries. They're big on this list. They've got Sveed. Just half a sheep's head, boiled and served with mashed potatoes. Traditional dish in Iceland.
Oh. You're right. The Nordic country. Not represented some lake you go to an international food court.
That's what I've heard about people who go to Iceland. And, you know, it's beautiful there and all the scenery.
The women are beautiful.
Yeah, everything's very nice, except for when you need to eat.
Correct.
Yeah, apparently that's you lose weight just vacationing.
I say the pickings have to be slim in Iceland.
Yeah.
Now, this one's from Sweden. Again.
Here we go.
I don't understand how this one made the list. What's it? Karlsgrof? It's a calzone stuffed with french fries and full hamburgers, including the bun. Sounds like something American would come up with.
It's not U.S.
But it's on a menu at a restaurant in Sweden.
Maybe they don't know how to do it right. Because I, even though I would give that a shot, I would try it.
But again, it depends. Like when I go to Mexico, I realized if you order a hamburger there, it is not the hamburger that you get here. It is beef. It is on a roll. But where we do ground beef, they take these big hunks of steak, essentially, just kind of glue them together. But it tastes different. The consistency kind of sucks. So you have to be real specific.
Okay.
So, and I don't know that I want a bun inside my calzone.
It does seem a bit much. A little thick and heavy there.
Yeah.
But that said, I don't know that it would taste bad. I mean, it's french fries and a burger. It's just inside of a calzone.
Mm-hmm. Now we go to Finland. Blood plat. Dumplings with reindeer blood.
Jeez.
Guys. Sweden and Finland. They like this one.
Wasn't that what that boudin is? Just a blood-filled sausage?
No. Boudin is like rice, spices. There's some sausage.
Sure there's no blood in there?
There might be, but it's not the primary ingredient.
Okay.
Like when you look at boudin, it looks like, if you cut boudin open, it looks like a sushi roll, but where the fish would be, it's meat.
All right.
Right, and there's rice.
Just a bit of boudin, man.
I love boudin. I told Mike, he's going down there in the next few months in Baton Rouge, so you got to get some boudin.
Oh, dude, get boudin. Seriously.
And number one on the list, again, from Sweden and Finland, blood pancakes.
Oh.
Pancakes made with onions, spices, and reindeer blood. They're popular in Sweden and Finland.
And
they have a tourist rate of 1.6 out of 5.
Don't they have any fish? You know what I mean? Like they got a.
How about the meat?
I mean, crabs.
I mean, cold water.
You could get like a big halibut.
I know.
What are they doing?
Well, you want to eat other stuff. And I like blood pudding. I just don't know if I need blood in my pancakes.
Thank you, Head Chef. We appreciate it. Coming up at 5:08, we'll drink a toast with a shot of the day. You are listening to The Men's Room.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
All right, kind of until 5:08. We'll drink and toast for the shot of the day. And we do have your headlines on the way at 5:50. But first, quick check out with Mike Hawk. Some of the stories and headlines he is not working on.
Well, thank you, Miles. Hang on. Oh, all right. I got this. According to research, ending the use of popular GLP-1 weight loss drugs could trigger a dramatic weight gain.
Yeah.
I guess it actually trigger the weight gain.
So that's the thing is that they cite what's it called? Basically, behavioral changes as the more long term success method.
Right.
So
absolutely.
So that's all they're saying there is that it triggers the weight gain because as soon as you're off that drug, you're still going right back to the bad choices that led you to where you were before you got on them.
That makes sense.
I mean, yeah, I think it'd go both ways. I think some people just take it for the rest of their lives.
Sure.
Right? Same way you would take
a... And there's the answer.
Well, same way you would take like a cholesterol or a blood pressure pill.
Exactly.
If you do one more thing, though, I mean, it'll stick. If you just change your diet a little bit...
Right.
Like when I did steroids, I was in college playing football, right? I got injured. They gave me steroids to repair it. I was hobbling around the locker room. I lifted more and worked out more with a broken ankle because I knew I had steroids in me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, gotcha. Man, I can get buff off this.
At least
I'm going to try. You know, I can do curls. Something. Yeah.
And that's really what it should be is for, you know, as long as there's nothing chemically wrong with you, that if that's the way that you're going with it, that's the way that it should do. Like, hey, you know, let's just supercharge this thing and get down there. But then you still do need to make those behavioral changes, those lifestyle changes that keep you down there.
That's the difference.
If the drug is the only thing keeping you down there, like you're not changing anything about what it is that you're doing. Yeah,
exactly.
Once you're off of it, you're going to shoot right back up there.
I mean, because of Pedialyte, I keep drinking.
There you go. You know, the crash diets were the same thing. I saw many people go through crash diets. Look at me, I'm losing weight all over. It's like, yeah, but you're miserable. But it's only for 90 days. Well, guess what happens at the end of 90 days?
Yeah, exactly.
So, much to the dismay a surprisingly large group of surprisingly large group of Stranger Things fans, there was in fact no secret episode released this week.
I don't know how to explain it to people. There's a new one coming. Why do you think that?
Right.
There's not.
Because basically what
there was there was something in the show. And then on Christmas, right, Netflix was like, "Get what's next" or whatever. But again, it's Netflix. It could have been, I don't even know what they announced today. It could have been anything.
Right? I have no idea.
But those Stranger, like, right, because I was talking about earlier this week at TV Time, and like, they were like, well, this happened or that happened, so it's got to be.
Right. And and it was a finale, so there was a lot more questions than there were answers. There was a lot of chapters of that book that got left wide, wide open. That never got answered. And then the directors of it, the creators of it, once they heard that people were kind of theorizing that, like, there's going to be a secret episode that's going to be released, they didn't dispel it immediately.
Well, yeah. I mean,
so
yeah.
That fueled it.
Correct.
And then all of a sudden, everybody's all disappointed. Like, guys,
are we disappointed? It's called a finale.
How many times are we going to go through this that no matter what show you're watching, if you enjoy it, the last episode's going to suck?
Yep. And it's just how it is, man.
Or it's got to end with death.
Yes.
Right. So you know.
Right. And the truth is that the last episode of the show is just like every other one. It's just you wanted it to be better.
That's all.
The last cookie in the box is not going to taste better than the rest. It's going to taste like a doggone cookie, and then the box is gone.
Yeah. And then you're disappointed.
Hey. This one didn't taste the greatest. It was all building up to... No. No. Due to fences, Kenya's wildebeest migration is down by 90%.
They are delicious.
Really? You had a wildebeest burger?
No, I had a steak.
You had a wildebeest steak.
Yes.
Nice. How did it taste? You said it was delicious. Is it kind of like bovine? Is it like...
No, it's not fatty at all, obviously, because they're wild.
Sure.
But it doesn't have a gamey taste, but it's very tender.
Really?
So I guess maybe closest thing...
Really?
Not buffalo, but...
Well, no wonder lions
eat them. Elk, maybe, you know, something in that realm.
Right, because like bison... I like bison burger or beefalo, but you got to mix it with beef, right? Because Thrill and I had those bison steaks. It was like, we're just eating meat.
Yeah.
It wasn't a lot of flavor.
You described it best. You said it tastes like meat.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Wasn't bad. It just...
Yeah, it's not bad.
It was like
it's
a steak kind of naturally with the fat has some more flavor.
Okay.
I don't know why they put those fences up. I guess it's a property thing.
Probably. It's odd to me that a wild animal has tender meat. I would think being in the elements, being out on your own, doing all that... kind of naturally tenses the meat.
Also, I can't believe an elephant or some other animal didn't take that fence down. A rhino, if you want to get through there, you know, wait for it.
It depends on the elephant, or the, depends on the elephant, depends on the wild animal. Like the wildebeest, they're on the move a lot.
Yeah.
Right? So that makes sense that it's leaner.
But the buffalo are huge in a herd. I just can't believe they haven't mowed it all down.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, you look at, like, cows.
They're not doing anything.
Right.
They're just not doing anything.
Put your thinking caps on, gents. Time for the Merriam-Webster Word of the Day. A noun brought to you by the letter G, and I give you guys a 95% success chance. I will be sorely disappointed if you guys get this wrong. A G word, which is a soup thickened with okra pods and containing meat or seafoods.
Gumbo.
Usually vegetables. Yeah. Gumbo, Ted, you nailed it.
You got it.
That's one thing. That's another thing that I need to get. I want to get good, authentic gumbo.
You're going through Baton Rouge.
The only gumbo that I've ever gotten is the Campbell's Chunky Soup version, which I understand is...
But it's good, right?
Cheap imitation. It was still fantastic. It was one of my favorites. I loved the jambalaya and I loved the gumbo. But now that I'm looking at it, like, I want some real
gumbo. You're going to get both of those then.
Yeah.
Get both of those dishes.
Yes, sir.
And etouffee.
A new study found that the next generation is lying about their finances to make themselves more desirable.
Well, we always have.
People lie about everything to make themselves more desirable.
Right. They do. What they make?
Yeah.
And to make yourself more desirable. Like, you make yourself more desirable at a job interview. You do it on a first date, right? I mean, like, come on.
But it's...
I mean, they use filters on their pictures. It's understood. All of that, it's a sales pitch.
I'd prefer if you fudged the truth versus just straight up lying about it.
No, I agree with
it. Much like, well, that's going to come to light at some point.
It will, but they're trying to get laid.
They are. You know what? To be fair, if that's all the admission is, just get laid.
It's to get laid.
Sure. I make $100 million a year.
Right. And you get laid.
Right. I think it's different if you're going to like settle down and be with somebody. Then you can't lie about it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
The future. But right, if you're just trying to get laid, like, I don't know. I make $1 million a year.
Good call. Ted, what day is it, buddy?
Thursday.
You're right. It's World Typing Day.
The Men's Room Top 10.
Yay.
The Men's Room Top 10.
For whatever reason, when I looked at the daily holidays, that one just kind of stuck out to me because I thought, you know what? I guarantee you I can't find 10 fun facts about typing. But I was wrong. So here's some 10 fun facts basically about keyboards, about typing, and all that. It's going to be fun. So starting at number 10, Steve, I know that you know this one, so I don't want you to say it, but Miles and Ted, the pound sign, as it were, the number symbol.
All right.
On the keyboard. What is that called? Anybody, do either of you know what that is actually called?
The pound symbol.
Knew it as the pound symbol.
The hashtag, right?
Yeah, the hashtag.
It does have a name. And we've done it on Big Dummy.
Yes, yeah, I know. I've heard you say it. I've heard you answer it. I don't know it.
I'll give you guys a hint. It has to do both with the number 8 and an athlete / town in Pennsylvania.
Jim Thorpe?
Octothorpe.
The Octothorpe.
Okay.
The Octothorpe.
Mm-hmm.
Which, why is it 8? Looking at, maybe it's...
Because it's, there's 8 different points, right? So there's 8 points on it, and the guy that created the symbol, believe it or not, was just a big Jim Thorpe fan.
Gotcha.
Oh, honest to God, that's why he called it the Octothorpe.
Okay, I love it.
And I'm embarrassed that I know that.
Okay. The most used buttons on your keyboard are the E and the space bar. Does anybody know what the third most used button on average, on your average keyboard is? It's behind the E and the space bar.
I'm going to guess Enter.
Enter, not a bad guess.
Or Shift. Shift.
Shift, also not a bad guess.
I'm going to go R.
R, okay. Ted.
S.
A lot of people make mistakes, and they use the backspace.
Uh-huh. That makes sense.
The backspace.
Use it all the time.
10 fun keyboard facts. In the First World War, the word typewriter was used as army slang for a machine gun.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Well, it depends how you type. Mine would have been...
Hair club, too. I remember...
Is he a slow typer?
Not just a slow typer, but a heavy typer. I literally stopped by his office one time.
Oh, he does, yeah.
And I said, like, how many keyboards have you gone through? Because I walked by and it was...
You're right, man.
Yeah, very heavy hand with a hunted pack.
You learned on a mechanical keyboard, didn't you, man?
Did you ever send an email where you weren't angry?
Yes.
Everything he typed, and you'd be like, great job. But if you hear him type it, you're like, oh, man, somebody's in trouble.
The world record for typing the English alphabet on a keyboard from A to Z was set by a man in India. How fast do you think that he did it?
26 letters, I'm going to say... 13 seconds.
I'll
say 3 seconds.
3 seconds, Ted.
I'll split the difference, say 9.5 seconds.
Miles, you were the closest without going over 3.37 seconds.
Damn.
Like, I think I've done it in 11 seconds.
I don't even know if I could do it that fast.
Because they're all over the place. I could do it.
Well, if you use the keyboard the way it's designed, in theory, you should be able to do it quickly.
Sure.
Right, because everything's about being within reach of the 8 anchor fingers, blah, 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 blah.
Right. Exactly. Wait, pardon me. The average speed is 40 words per minute. Most people type around 40 words per minute with about 8 mistakes per 100 words.
I think I'm probably about there now. I never thought I would be, but because everything is done on computer now,
right.
You realize you have gotten, you don't necessarily type in the quote-unquote proper etiquette way,
mm-hmm.
but I realize I can actually type pretty fast on the keyboard now.
I still put my index fingers on F and J, though.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm with you.
That's why there's a little button there, a little knob.
Yeah. Right. Now, I hover over top, but yeah, I'm
same thing with the with the little nub on the 5. Same situation.
Huh.
Put your middle finger right there on the 5, and then you can just type anyone that you want to without looking. And it's funny that they actually put on here, you can touch type without formal training. People develop their own efficient methods to type without looking. And I actually did. I had one program when I was growing up that kind of taught you how to type without looking. I did it for a little bit, and I learned kind of like what you're saying, Miles, where you put your index fingers on the F and the J, and then you kind of go from there.
You're not supposed to look at the paper.
Exactly. That's how in typewriting class in high school.
I had it too.
That was the dictation. That's how they did the dictation. You had to look, and then you had to see how many errors you made or how close or off you were once you finished the dictation.
And then I dropped it for, it felt like a decade, maybe 15 years. And then working here at some point, I was like, I have typed so much on my phone through text messaging and whatnot to where now I know where these buttons are.
Mm-hmm.
And so absolutely. I just started getting after it, and I just taught myself how to type. And I think I'm down to like 35, 33 words a minute, something
That's
like that.
That's pretty good.
I got up to 60 when I was in high school, but we were taking the class. All right. So, and as soon as the class was done, I guarantee it dropped. But on our final exam, the typewriters we used, the letters, they weren't marked.
Oh.
So if you knew what you were doing, it shouldn't matter, which is the theory.
Right.
I did not do great on that.
Well, our boy Tim's studio, the keyboard that's over there, that's kind of the same situation over there. There's a handful,
handful of
buttons that are just completely erased over there.
Yeah. I used one of those computers in-house, and I was having a really hard time because just they had worn out.
Yep.
So one of the salespeople turned in a laptop.
Mine!
That they, you know, they couldn't see the letters anymore.
Oh, no.
So then I got to do a Zoom call. I get this laptop and look down like, oh good God. So you're typing all these passwords and crap. Get in this meeting. I'm like, you just got to be kidding.
Yeah, like, I keep my hands in the right spot, but I'm not positive. Like, I could type a little bit without looking, but I feel like I still glance down.
Sure.
I always do.
Which hand is used most when, on average, while you're typing your words? Left or the right?
I'm going to guess left.
56% of all of your keystrokes will be used with the left hand. Yeah, even though most people are right-handed.
E-A-S-T-R-D. I mean, those are your Wheel of Fortune letters there.
Does anybody know which city was the birthplace of the QWERTY keyboard?
What's the QWERTY keyboard?
Look down at your keyboard.
Q-W-E-R-T-Y.
I mean, Rochester?
Rochester.
I was going to guess Rochester as well.
I'll say San Jose.
Not quite so far east there, boys. It was in Milwaukee. And they actually host QWERTY Fest every June, a weekend festival celebrating the anniversary of the invention of the QWERTY keyboard.
Do you know how much ass is there? QWERTY Fest.
You're getting laid every night.
Yeah. Keyboards, Miller Lite, and Harley Davidson's.
Straight.
QWERTY Fest.
And cheese.
Fun keyboard facts. Back to that same keyboard there. The longest word that you can type with your left hand.
Abracadabra?
Stewardesses.
Oh, okay. They're flight attendants, dude.
True enough.
Yeah, I'll paint your list, sexist.
I'm going to say this wrong. Polyphony for the right hand.
Polyphony, I guess.
Right. I only have one girlfriend. I'm faking it.
You're polyphony.
Do you know what's
a polyphony.
You're polyphony. He's a phony.
What's the longest word you can type using only the top letters on the keyboard?
Ooh. I actually knew this at one point. Pouty.
Typewriter.
No kidding. It's typewriter.
Yeah, typewriter is the longest word you can type using only the letters on the top of the keyboard. Yep.
Fun keyboard facts. Did you know that your keyboard can contain more germs than a toilet seat?
Cool. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's why they
I bang them out every once in a while and just look and see what falls out. It's just like, Jesus Christ.
I won't say who I used to share. It used to be in our old building.
Yeah.
We all shared one studio, so we have two separate ones now, and we would follow the morning show, and I will not say whose computer I shared mine with, but every once in a while, I'd bang this thing out, and all kinds of food particles and peanuts and all this, but the one that killed me was a piece of sausage fell out. And so I went to this person and just said, hey, man, look, I understand you in the studio. There should not be sausage in the keyboard. Can you just, like, turn your head when you eat?
I don't know how old the equipment was in that studio, but I remember those microphone condoms also looking terrible. We've been here for, what, 10 years at this point? Still looks almost as new as the day that we got it, save for just a little bit of lint that's all over.
This same person clearly talked when they still had bits of food in their mouth.
Yes.
And I would look at the mic condom, and I'm like, just don't make your face touch it. And we were doing something, and I remember it brushed my lip.
Kissed it.
And it just bugged me, man.
Because it's crusty, man.
Dry-ass pieces of peanut and whatever else.
Yeah. And then I'll leave you with this last and final fun fact about the keyboard. At least you walk away learning a little bit more here. When you hit the space bar, 6 million people in the world just did the same thing.
Cats.
I did it first. Damn it.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Police in Britain broke the news to a couple parents that their teenage son had unfortunately died in a car crash.
Oh, God.
But there's a little twist to the story, Miles.
What was the twist? I'll
tell you all about it at 5:50.
Thank you, sir. Headlines are coming up at 5:50 in the meantime. Have we made it to drinking time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve a Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today we toast a fortune teller in Thailand. So as the story goes, there was a woman who saw the fortune teller outside of a temple and agreed to pay for a reading. And apparently this guy does it through tarot cards. Now, the 38-year-old fortune teller, as he drew her cards, he had bad news. He told her that he saw bad luck ahead. Well, of course, she wanted to know what the bad thing would be. And he explained, it's not like death or anything, but apparently you're going to lose a valuable item in the near future. And he said, of course, he could prevent it for an extra fee, but she wouldn't pay that. So she went on her way. But a little while later, she realized that he was right. Her iPhone was, in fact, missing later that day. Yeah, she went back to the fortune teller to explain, hey, it seems that what you said is true. I lost my iPhone, and I'm pretty effing sure you're the guy that stole it. Now, naturally, he denied having anything to do with it, so he did another reading for her. He said, look, the reason it happened is because I'm good at my job. That's a quote from him. But the prediction came true, and he even described what the thief would look like. Well, it turns out other people kind of overheard this. They stepped in, and then they dug through a box that the guy had beside him. And guess what? They found her phone.
Yeah.
She called the cops on that same phone. No word on the exact charges he's facing, wow. but he's not wrong.
He predicted it.
I mean, he just said, look, you're gonna be missing something valuable. And he was right. So in a sense, well worth the money.
He didn't see the future. Because he made the future.
He did, because he saw it. He knew that in the future, she was going to discover that she lost something valuable. And it was true. It was hours later when she realized that he stole her iPhone. But he wasn't wrong. Either way, we pour this booze, and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola.
All right, let's get a contestant on the line now for Profile This, 206-803-ROCK. Profile This is next.